date was December 17th, 1903. The place was, well, I'm sure you know it. You were there, weren't you?
Not that old.
The Wright brothers, they finally managed to fly. They got their plane up in the air. It was the first time that essentially man had flown. And Wilbur rushed to the local telegraph office and sent the following message. We have flown for 12 seconds. We'll be home for Christmas. Upon receiving the telegram, their sister Catherine went to the newspaper office and told them the news. 2 days later, the local paper placed the following headline on page 6. Wright Brothers, home for Christmas. Amazingly, the idea of flying and the idea of flight, well, that was trumped by being home for Christmas. They were the first to fly, but it was more important that they were coming home. I have been asked over the past 27 years, are you going home for Christmas? Many, many times. And I don't know, maybe you have been asked that question over your life. Are you going home for Christmas? To me, I am home for Christmas. I'm always home for Christmas, no matter where I happen to be. There is something deep within each one of us that longs to belong in a place called home. And one thing that I can say for certain is that, well, the gray cup is once again home for Christmas. Go blue. I know it's not very religious, but it's my way of celebrating. That was an amazing game last week. I hope you watched it. If not, I still have it on my PVR. Just let me know. We'll watch it again together. But back to the message. I noticed that even in our secular Christmas songs, there is this Yuletide yearning for being home. I'll be home for Christmas, written during World War II, capturing the longing to be at home, especially for soldiers who are serving overseas, even if it's just in their dreams. They would be home no matter what. I'm thankful to announce that Levi and Midori came home for the holidays yesterday, and that I'll be seeing them later on today. VeggieTales has a song entitled There Must Be More to Christmas, which speaks of a yearning for what we have to yet to experience. It's no secret that everyone is merry about Christmas, but what most folks love, they love the season and they are happy. There is always one or two who walk around with a big, huge frown saying, "Bah humbug." I hope that is not you. The advantage to wearing masks is I can't tell if you've got that frown. Some of you can't wait to be home for Christmas, and others of you actually don't want to go home for Christmas, perhaps. But whatever it is, I hope that you are not dreading the day because a loved one is missing around your table. Christmas might be warm, just not, I don't know, maybe it's just plain weird for you this year. I hope it is not, because your home might be beautiful and maybe broken. It might be filled with delights, or you might already be getting ready for disappointment. I don't know. So if that's you, I have this message for you. It is 2 months until Valentine's Day. This morning, we all know that Joseph and Mary, they were away from home for Christmas. Have you ever thought about that? The very first Christmas, they were not at home. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife.'" But that didn't last long because, well, they had to waddle down to Bethlehem. And the shepherds, well, they weren't home either because the nature of their work, they were far from home. And as we learned 2 weeks ago, the wise men, they had wandered away from home so they could worship the king. They just arrived 2 years late. The family of Jesus set up their home in Bethlehem for a while, and then they had to flee to Egypt. Eventually, after being there, they ended up back in Nazareth. Later, Jesus made Capernaum his home base, no longer Nazareth, during his ministry. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus actually had no place to lay his head. Jesus was literally far from home when he was here, because his home is never going to be here. His home is heaven. But because we all long to belong, we will be homeless until we find our home with God. There's a longing for home inside each one of us that no human home can satisfy. And this week I discovered that the word home is used 216 times in the Bible. And as I studied this further, I saw that one can make a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament use of the word home. So let's look at it, the first passages or a few passages from the Old Testament where we can see that we are actually homesick for God. Are you homesick for God? Ever since Adam and Eve were thrown out of their home in Eden, there's been this deep homesickness inside each one of us. Inside our souls, this deep longing to belong that can be traced through the entire Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 8, Noah sent a dove out looking for a place. And it says this, "But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth." And this phrase, to set its feet, to place its feet, is Hebrew, and it literally means home. Do you have a place to set your feet? And it's this cool description of home. We're looking for security, not just a place for our feet, but also a place of safety for our souls. The Psalms, Psalm chapter 90, verse 1, Moses, who spent most of his life wandering in the wilderness, declares, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations," recognizing who God truly is. In Psalm 91, it echoes this sentiment, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Beautiful ideas of home. And I think it's because we are homesick for God that our Christmas celebrations are often incomplete. We are homesick not for some home of the past or our past, but for a home that we have never seen, a home that we can't really imagine. Can you imagine heaven? I mean, we've got that description, but Can you really imagine it? I try, but I don't think I do a good job at it. It's something more than nostalgia. It's more profound. What we long for is to have the broken and the scattered pieces brought together in ways that we are unable to do. And honestly, all of our lives have these broken pieces, don't they? That's why we're homesick and we're yearning for God. If the Old Testament shows us our homesickness for God, a case could be made that the New Testament describes God as homesick for us. Go with me on this one. At its core, that's what Christmas is all about. Look at the beautiful Christmas passage that I'm sure all of you are familiar with. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see Christmas? My grandfather was visiting his grandson one Christmas when he walked into the family room and saw the toddler standing up in his playpen crying. His face was red and tear-stained, and when little Billy saw his granddad, his face lit up and his hands reached for granddad. He reached out for the help that he pleaded, "Out, Papa, out." What grandfather could possibly resist such a plea? I don't know, and I'm not even a grandfather. And so he walked over to the playpen and reached down to lift this little bundle out of its captivity. But just at that very moment, Law and Order stepped into the room, and there stood Mom, looking very unhappy, and spoke very sternly, "Billy, you know better. You're being punished. Leave him right where he is, Dad." Those hands that were there to lift him out couldn't. But the tears, Grandpa didn't know what to do. Billy's tears, his outstretched hands tugging at his heart. But he didn't want to interfere with Mom and her rules. And as Mom left, Grandpa stood there, "What should I do?" And so he did the only thing that he could do. He stepped over the side of the playpen and sat down in there with him. And I it's this funny little story, but I see this as God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. God is like that grandfather who became part of where the child was. And the first part of verse 14 says that the Word became flesh. This is the single most unique quality of Christianity that makes it different than all other religions. God became flesh. Now, I don't often go to the Message, but the Message paraphrases this in such a different way that I want to read this to you. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. It's so true. The NIV says that Jesus made his dwelling among us, which literally means to make one's tent. And when it comes to camping, if you stay more than a weekend, you almost always get to know those around you if they're staying there as well. And Christ came and moved into the neighborhood. He became flesh and became known to us and got to know us. And we began to know him. He wants to be familiar to us. He wants to be close. He wants to be interacting with us. Dwelling is the same word used for the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And God made his dwelling amongst Israel. After spending 3 years with Jesus, his disciples finally found a home in him. Being with him gave them a sense of belonging, an identity, a purpose. It gave them all that they were longing for because Christ was there. Then in John chapter 14, Jesus announces that he's leaving them. And it shakes them up and he says, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. And then he tells them all about the home that he is going to prepare for them. I want to give you a little bit of background about homes in that culture, because they're not at all like homes in our culture. And I'm really beginning to understand this more and more as my kids move out from my home. Many lived in what was called an insula, which is a housing arrangement. And in the center, there's this courtyard where the animals would walk around and they would find common fire pits and cooking and stuff like that. But on the outer edge of the courtyard were the homes or the dwelling places, right? When a young man wanted to get married, his parents would arrange a contract. They would negotiate the bridal price. And incidentally, that's where the phrase bought with a price comes from. And the couple was betrothed, but no wedding date was set because the father of the groom, or the father and the groom-to-be, they had to get to work to build an addition onto the father's house. And so they would take the outer wall of the father's house and a portion of it, and they would begin from that point, and they would build a house attached to the father's house. And when the time came, the father would say, "It is now finished. Go and get your bride." And the bride would be ready, because she never knew when he would be coming to get her. And the groom would show up with his friends and they would go get his bride, and there would be a parade back to the new home. And that's what Jesus is talking about in John 14, verses 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." These are wedding words. Jesus is the groom who has the room ready for us. We are the bride that has been bought with a price. When the time is right, he will take us home and we will be with him forever. And there's only one way to get there, and that's to move from the cradle of Christmas to the cross of Calvary. Folks, these two symbols are so intertwined, you can't have one without the other. It says in verse 6 of John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus went to the cross so you could come home for Christmas. Later in that same chapter, Jesus speaks these stunning words in verse 24. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. When we believe and receive him, he will come and make his home in our hearts. I hope that that is true with you today. It's an interesting irony when you think about it, that Jesus has prepared a room for us, even though there was no room for him. When he was born, there was no room. Joseph and Mary searched, and despite their search, they could find no room. And despite the fact that we kicked Jesus out of our world, man literally said, we don't want him, crucify him, get rid of him, we don't want him. Jesus invites us into his home. And he says that there is a place for those who believe in him. In fact, he left the disciples in order to get some rooms ready for them and for all of us. We're all searching for home. And part of the problem is that most of us are too tied to this place to realize that our true home is not actually here. We often think that this is the land of the living, and that when we die, we go to the land of the dead. But that's the furthest from the truth. The opposite is really true. This is the land of homelessness. This is the land of sadness. And when our life is over, we are transferred and transformed to another place, to another home. I trust that it will be a home of eternal joy for you. That's why, the Apostle Paul understood where his home really was, and he wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. Well, I have good news for you today. I don't know if you've heard this yet, but I hope that you hear this every day of your life. Jesus loves you. God loves you so much, and he wants you. He wants to give you this Christmas. But some of you have your hands so full of stuff of your Christmas that you're missing the real Christmas. That there must be more. Well, the more is Jesus. He wants to meet your deep longing for home. John wrote these words in Revelation 21. Beautiful words. And I heard in a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling, the home of God is with men. And he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the good news. God has made his dwelling among us. And our dwelling is with him. God's home is now among his people. The entire Bible is pointing to this very moment. Even if things are good for you on Christmas, there will be a fleeting sense that the best is yet to come. Will you come home to him? In one sense, we're all runaways, aren't we? We have run from God, and God is calling us home. And I picture the prodigal son who is far from home, and he didn't think the father would ever take him back. He had drifted so much, he had sinned so much, that the only hope that he had was to perhaps come back, not as a son, but as a servant. If he could just work for the Father, maybe everything would be okay. He wanted to go on a good works plan. But no one can earn their way back home. See, Jesus can do what I cannot do because he has already paid the price. What that son didn't know was that the father had never stopped looking. He had never stopped looking for his son. The son that had drifted away. And when the father sees him, he literally gets up and he runs to go meet him and welcome him with open arms. And the father is always ready to receive runaways. He's always ready to receive us. Because we all long to belong, there will be homeless. We will all be homeless until we find our home with God. Christmas is all about God and his homecoming. We couldn't get to God, so God came to us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the creator of the universe came home to his creation. God chose to be with us, to live in our neighborhood, so that one day we can live with him in our heavenly home. Christmas is telling you that God has come to you. Anybody here want to be home for Christmas? I do. Then come home to Christ. I want to give anybody a chance. If there is anyone here, I don't know. If you have not come to Christ, do that right now. I want to make this invitation. If you're ready, if you're already at home with him, just say thanks. Tell God it's how glad you are to be home with him. Maybe there's someone that you can pray for that you know is not at home with Christ. I think we all know someone who needs to come home for Christmas. And so if you are someone who needs to come home, would you pray along with me this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for calling me home. I pray for all those loved ones who still need to hear your call, that they would come home. I pray that you would fill their lives, that they would hear your call, that they would respond to you. And Father, if there is anyone here who is calling you Father for the first time, We recognize that we are all sinners, that we are far from you, that we need you to be our Lord and Savior. Father, I trust that you will come and dwell within my heart today and forever. Forgive me for my sins. For my sins draw me so far from you. I pray that we would be faithful to you, that our words and our actions would help others see you and hear you this Christmas. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Amen.